right? But he should only serve him for the true purpose, right? Not for any extraneous benefit, right? Okay, so last week we did the thing of justice, that you can't say that God owes you anything, okay? But now we have an interesting thing, because he ends the statement. He says that you should not serve God for a reward, but you should serve him not for the sake of reward, okay? But then he says, "V'hi mora shamayim aleichem," and therefore you will have yiras shamayim. Okay, implying that if you serve God for the sake of a reward, you will not have your shrine. Okay, but the only time you'll have your shrine, fear of heaven, right, is if you serve him not for the sake of a reward. Okay.
Well, that's not saying like have your shrine.
Well, the thing is, see, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "V'hi moras shamayim aleichem," you'll have yiras Hashem, "lefi she'ein schar mitzvah ba'ol mazeh." Okay. Rashi says, because the idea is there is no reward for mitzvos in this world. Okay, in this world, a person receives no reward. Okay, so we'll come back to how you understand the Mishnah. But let's just see if we can go into that statement. Okay, yeah.
Sorry, would you be able to repeat the Mishnah, please?
Mishnah was,
whatever we're doing.
Remember, we were doing that a person should not serve God for a reward, but he should serve him just for the purpose, the true purpose. Okay? And the end of the Mishnah says, and therefore a person will have Yiras Shamayim. Okay, that will give a person Yiras Shamayim if he serves God for the truth. Okay. Now Rashi says, what does it mean that a person will have Yiras Shamayim, fear of God? Because Rashi says there is no reward for mitzvos in this world. No reward. No schar mitzvah in this world. Okay. So I just want to go into that concept. What does that mean? There is no schar mitzvah in this world. Okay. So it's actually, there's a Gemara in Kedushin. Okay. The Gemara's in Kedushin. It's a famous Gemara about the young lad that climbed up the ladder. His father gave him a mitzvah to go get some a dove from the roof. He climbed up the ladder, and on the way back, the ladder fell, and the young lad died. Okay, so the Gemara says, even though he was doing a mitzvah, he did the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, and he did the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. Okay, he sent away the mother bird when he was getting the young. So he did both mitzvahs, and yet he met an untimely death.
Okay. It was on his way down.
I'm sorry?
On his way down. Down.
That's right. On the way down. Okay.
He didn't accomplish kibud av in that same mitzvah.
Both mitzvahs. He did kibud av because the father told him to go get the birds. Right. So he was involved in accomplishing what the father told him to do, which is kibud av. And also, when he went to get the birds, he shooed away the mother bird. So he also did a second mitzvah of shiluach hakan, that he sent away the mother. You're not permitted to take the children with the mother around. So he did both mitzvahs, and yet his reward was he died. One may question, what kind of a reward is that? Schar mitzvah. Okay.
Is that actually, did they call his a reward? Or
no, no, I'm okay. Just being facetious. Little levity. But, you know, if you take a look at the Gemara, okay, the Gemara's on Lemates on Beis, and the Gemara says, because the Mishnah is discussing that if a person does one mitzvah, he receives a reward. Okay? And the Gemara is disputing, what does it mean a reward? Does it mean in this world, or does it mean in the next world? Okay. So it seems that the Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is speaking about the next world. Okay. And the Gemara says, whose opinion is that? That maintains that the reward for the mitzvahs is always in the next world. Okay. So the Gemara says, that's the opinion of Rav Yaakov. Okay. Because Rabbi Yaakov says, Gemara says, "Detani, Rabbi Yaakov Omer." Yaakov says, "Ein lecha kol mitzvah u'mitzvah sheksuv v'Torah." There is no mitzvah. Every time there is a mitzvah written in the Torah, shematan schara betzida, where the Torah actually mentions a schar. Normally, the Torah gives you a mitzvah, but it doesn't mention any reward or any benefit from the mitzvah. It just tells you what to do. But certain times the Torah gives you a schar right there. It tells you what the schar is. So he says, every time the Torah does that, okay, he says, she'ein t'chias ha'mesin t'liyaba. Every one of those instances is talking about in the next world. So I'm going to t'chias ha'mesin. When the next world comes, that's what the Torah means. Okay. What's the case? Rabbi Yaakov says that the Torah says b'kivat av, b'kivat av aim k'siv. Pasuk says l'man yarichun yamecha, l'man yitav lach. Okay, so the Torah says the person should be mechabed his av aim. Why? L'man yarichun yamecha, in order to have a long life. L'man yitav lach, and in order it should be good for you. You'll have a good life. Okay, b'shiluach hakan. Also in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, Ksiv, the Torah says, Laman Yitavlach, in order you'll have a good life, V'arachta Yamim, and you'll have long days. Okay, so in both those cases, the Torah actually tells you what is the result of complying with this mitzvah. Okay. Okay, so it says like this. So Rabbi Yaakov says, Haresha Amar Lo Aviv, there was a case where the father told the son to go up to the roof and bring back the doves. Okay, va'ala l'bira, the son went up to the roof. V'shilach es ha'em, sent away the mother, did the mitzvah. V'natal es ha'banim, and took the children. U'b'chazirasa, when he returned on his way down from the roof, nafal ha'meis. He fell off the ladder and died. So the Gemara says, heichan tavas yamav shalzeh. Where is the good life of this individual? Okay, where's his long life? Alright. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yaakov says, Ella, what it means is Laman Yitav Lach La'olam Shekulo Tov. It means you'll have a long life in the world that is all good. Meaning in the next world, a person will inherit the next world as a result of these mitzvahs. Okay, but in this world, not talking about this world. Okay? He says like this. So the Gemara says, right? So what Rav Yaakov holds is that in terms of schar mitzvah, it does not exist in this world. Okay? And the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, further down, the Gemara says, Ilmale darshe acher. If acher would have explained the pasuk like Rabbi Yaakov, if Ilmale Darshe Acher Lahai Krak Rabbi Yaakov Bar Baratya, had he explained these psukim the way that Rabbi Yaakov did, okay, Lochata, he would not have sinned. Acher would not have denied God. Okay, so Maihi, what happened with Acher? He says, the Gemara says, Ika da Amri ki hai gavna chaza. So some say he saw that occurrence with the young boy. And when he saw that, he said, this goes against what the Torah promises, and therefore must be false. The Torah's wrong. Okay, so he denied God. Okay, some say, Ika da Amri lishna de chutzpah samaturgam chaza da habagara lay. Okay, so some say he saw a different thing. He saw the chutzpah samaturgam. I don't know which, the Greeks maybe, cut out his tongue and gave it to a pig to drag on the ground. Okay, so when he saw this, He said, "This, what kind of a world is this? Here you have a person that lived the most perfected life, and this is what happens to him." But he said, when he saw that, he said, "That's it. There is no system of justice. There's no rulership of God," and he denied the Torah. Okay. So the Gemara says, had he learnt the pasuk like Rabbi Yaakov, he would not have had this problem. He would not have denied God, because he would have concluded that there's no connection. Yes, he lived a perfected life, but in this world, he doesn't receive the schar. Okay? So that's what the Gemara says. That's what it means, schar mitzvah behind alma leka. Okay? Right?
He's extrapolating just from these two to everything?
Yeah. See, that's what it means. That's whenever the Torah tells you schar mitzvah, it does not mean in this world.
I'm saying, but there's only two, or at least
those are two cases.
There's a lot more mitzvahs in the Torah. So I'm saying, is he extrapolating that means for everything also?
Yes.
How does he make that?
It's a good question. Okay, but that is his concept. Okay, that's his concept. All right, so the Pirkei Avos. Now, what does Antignus Ishsochel say? He says that you should not serve God, right, in order to get a reward, because if you do that, you will lose your Yiras Shamayim. Okay? So he's saying a very interesting concept. Okay, he's taking this idea that there is no benefits in this world, there is no security in this world from mitzvos. He's telling you a very interesting concept. What's the concept he's telling you? Why does a person lose his conviction, his commitment to Judaism? Why does a person lose his commitment to Judaism when something untoward happens to him? Right? You find many times a person undergoes some horrible experience in life, and the conclusion that they arrive at is, there's no God. Where's God? Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of times they expect some kind of, like, justice, or like some, like, just, or they feel like they were, like, basically they feel that this event that occurred to them, they were unworthy of, or like undeserving,
right,
of experiencing that.
That's right. In other words, when something bad happens to a person and it causes him to deny God, it's for one reason. It's because when a person follows the Torah, he could follow the Torah either because the Torah is true, and that's why he follows it, or he could follow the Torah because he is expecting a security that he will receive as a result of living the correct life. If I live the correct life, then God will supply me with certain security, physical security. If a person has that thought in mind, then what happens is, if he sees that his life, something happens that shatters that idea, I say he has to give up the Torah. Because his commitment his commitment to keeping the Torah in his mind, he had an idea that if I do this, I have to be secure. God will secure me physical happiness. You see, if a person has that thought in mind, then what happens is, when he loses his physical security, it has to shake his belief in God. It must. You see? That's a very interesting concept. Because when you think of it, really, if a person follows something or accepts a certain system because it's true, the fact that something happened to him cannot possibly, or the fact that he has a question cannot possibly make a difference with regard to his belief in that system. It's an impossibility. Let's say, for instance, a person studies gravity and says, I see certain things fall, And then he will discover that there are certain materials that go up. A helium balloon goes up. Now, no person would say, that's it. Can't believe it. The system of gravity is crazy. Because you see that there are certain things that go up. So obviously this whole system is crazy. And the idea that there is a laws of nature is false. The whole nature is random. You see, a person could equally well conclude that. Because a person studies nature, he sees every time he makes an inroad, he sees there's a contradiction. And he could conclude the whole thing is crazy. The whole system is crazy. You see, but no person would conclude that. A rational person would not conclude that. Because he would say that the system is complex and there is some idea there which I don't understand. You see? But I don't say because I have a question the whole system is insane. There is no system. You see? Now really over here it's the exact same thing. If a person is following the Torah because he sees this system is true, you see, then the appearance of some contradiction or some question is not going to shake him. He'll say, listen, that's a good question. Person lives a just life his whole life, and now he receives something that seems the height of injustice. It's a question. You see, but that doesn't mean the whole system is crazy. That doesn't mean there's no system. It just means there is a part that I don't understand. You see, so a person would not relinquish his commitment to the system based on a question. He would say, I have a question. But if his commitment to the system is based on that very thing, that if I keep the system, I'm going to be secure, then you can see very clearly that the moment he sees that, that's it. Yeah.
Are you going to get into this later? But I don't understand how Acher is going to really fit into that. What you're saying is that, okay, so now we're...
Okay.
I mean, at least according to the first, you get the Amri that said, like, if you would have learned the Pasuk differently.
Right.
I mean, that sounds like... Okay.
I'm sure Acher was very advanced philosophically.
Like, it doesn't sound like... You know, you saw one thing, the pasuk, it doesn't fit with the pasuk, so I'm dropping the whole thing. Because he didn't learn the pasuk that way. Well,
that's right, no, but what it means is that Acher had some motive of keeping the system, of his commitment to the system, in some level, was based on an expectation of physical security.
It didn't even have to be like a emotional motive. It could have been that he understood the system this way. He understood the system to be that if you do this, you'll get this. And if he doesn't see the result, then that part of the system isn't working. So he sees the system is not working. So you should reject it.
That's right. Misunderstanding of Star Walnash.
Yeah.
It was based on some kind of misunderstanding of the system. That his understanding of the system was based on the idea that it will give me a sense of security.
It's not like... I just can't
see, and therefore, if he didn't get it, he had to give it up. In other words, he couldn't say, one second, maybe my understanding was false. Perhaps there is no connection. Perhaps it doesn't secure you physical security. You see, if it was a purely logical thing, he would have said, one second, there's another possibility here. You see? But there was some kind of defect where his commitment to the system was based on this specific result, that it will secure security for a person. You see, and the moment that didn't happen, he said, that's it. I can't accept the system. You see, that's why he couldn't say, well, one second, we know the system is true. Now, I thought it gives you security. Oh, apparently, there's a problem here. Let's look into it. No sense in just saying, that's it, the whole thing is crazy. Right? But if the commitment is based on the benefits that I receive, then you can't do that. Then you say, that's it. Yeah.
It just seems like... So, I mean, Acher was really... I mean, that sounds philosophically very... I don't know what the right word is, but very, like, low or very unadvanced. I mean, someone could have just explained to him, oh, yeah, you're just learning that pasuk wrong. It's, I mean, the way that the Ikadamri sounds is like... if he would have learned the pasuk the other way, which I know there's other Tommy Chachamim that were he was friends with. I mean, they could have just explained to him,
right,
oh, you learned the pasuk wrong.
Right, so that's why Gemara says, lo chata. Gemara said he sinned. Sin means there is some kind of irrational element.
So his whole attachment, I mean, you know, again, I know that just because you're Talmud Chacham doesn't mean that you're, you know, philosophically perfect, but, like, I mean, so, in other words, you're saying he was a Talmud Chacham, I mean, I think only anyone disagrees with that, but he philosophically was not advanced at all.
Well, he could be very, very advanced philosophically. The thing is, he had a defect. He had some kind of defect. So a person could have a lot of knowledge, and yet he can have an emotional defect that will prevent him from operating in one area. A person can be very advanced, you see, in every area, but if he has an emotional blind spot that affects him, he will not be able to function rationally when it comes to that area. So a person can be a great Talmid Chacham, a great philosopher, you see, but if he has a defect that is not that he does not remove or that he's not aware of, when he hits a certain situation, the mind will not be able to function. And therefore, something that even a person of lower knowledge would be able to see, he won't be able to see. Because in that area, the mind cannot function. As he said, it doesn't mean he wasn't a great Talmid Chacham. He was a great Talmid Chacham. But he was only great as long as his mind was functioning. You see, but the moment a certain emotion prevented the mind from functioning, that's it, all your knowledge does you no good.
So it's not just that he didn't know this svara, it's that he refused to... He couldn't. In the sense that something blocked him, they couldn't
grasp it. Yeah, that's what it says. The Gemara says he sinned. A sin doesn't mean because a person didn't have knowledge. I mean, if he didn't have knowledge, it's not a sin. He pursued all the knowledge he could get. And he didn't have that knowledge. It's not a sin. It's just okay. But a sin means where there's a defect. He didn't have the knowledge not because of a lack of intelligence, but because there was an emotional, some kind of emotional defect. And it was based on this concept, that the motive for keeping the system has to be because the system is true, not because it will secure you any type of physical benefit. You see, and that's what Antigonus is saying, that if the motive is tied to some benefit, then you see you're always in danger. Because the fact is, schar mitzvah b'hal yamad lekah, there is no schar mitzvah in this world. So if you go through the world, you are definitely going to encounter a situation where a person keeps the whole system perfectly and yet receives a physical harm. You see? So the world will have to go against that concept. And once it goes against that concept, that's it. You're going to have to diminish your commitment. That has to be. Okay? The only thing that I would like to understand is, what does that mean that the mitzvos do not secure you, that there is no schar in this mitzvah, in this world? That a person keeps... the mitzvahs keeps God's system, and yet there is no kind of security or no kind of benefit in this world. I'd like to understand what that means, because if you look in the Torah, it would seem that this goes against the very fundamentals of the Torah. Because if you look in the second parsha of Shema, Shema tells you that if you will keep the mitzvahs, God will give you rain in the proper time. You will have crops. You will have security. You'll live in, right? The Torah says the brachos. You'll live in security. You'll have wealth. You'll have an abundance of everything. All the goods. And if a person goes against the Torah, lives an unjust life, say your crops will be destroyed. Your family will be ruined. Armies will come against you. Right? This is one of the fundamentals of the Torah. That if a person pursues the good, God assists him. God does not turn a blind eye to the way a person lives. If a person does evil, so God places impediments in his way. And if a person does good, wants to pursue the good, God supplies him with all of the things he needs, helps him out. You see? That's our idea of Hashkacha, that there is Hashkacha in the world. So how could Rabbi Yaakov say that there's no schar in this world? person could live a perfected life, and whatever happens to him is that's it. No schar. He gets destroyed, okay? Don't expect any return in this world. How can you say such a thing? Comes out, there's no hashkafa. Person's at tzadik gamor. Doesn't mean anything. Get destroyed the next second. We know that that is not that's not the case.
So you're assuming that hashkafa means schar ba'onesh? So therefore there's a contradiction?
I'm assuming that hashkacha, the idea of hashkacha is that what the events that occur to a person's life have to do with how he lives life.
Well, we know that's not necessarily true. If a guy is not under the highest level of hashkacha, then he's not. You know, every guy who learns, you know, 3 hours every morning is. Has good crops, and what's the phrase? Talmid Chachamim with bad stuff, and Tzadik Varala.
Right. Well, that's the question. But we know there is such a thing as Hashkafa. We know that B'derach Shadam Holech Malich Anoso, in the way that a man goes, God helps him. A person goes towards the good, God opens up opportunities for him. A person doesn't go for the good, those opportunities don't get opened. So there is some system of divine assistance. What it is exactly, how much assistance he receives, that, okay, we don't know. What assistance each person receives. But that the fact that a person does receive assistance and divine intervention based on how he lives his life, that we know. That is not something that anybody questions. Rabbi Yaakov is one of Chazal, and none of the Chazal ever questioned whether God supplies a person with assistance based on how he lives. That everybody agrees to. So how could Rabbi Yaakov say, Schar mitzvah b'hayom malekah? There's no reward in this world. Don't expect anything. Yeah.
Would you say that's return or reward? Meaning, like, are you saying that God doesn't intervene or he doesn't give you, like, special rewards? Because maybe by you becoming a greater person, you're just getting what you deserve, not a reward.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't say, maybe you becoming learning more or becoming a better person, you don't classify that as getting something you don't deserve.
Okay, good. So what would you say is a reward?
Something that's, like, above you. Like, okay, I learned this much, but now I'm getting a reward. Like, something that I shouldn't have gotten.
Okay,
something
good.
Special.
Okay, something special, okay.
As opposed to a return, you would say, oh, this is me. This is, like, a component of me. Like, this is how much I did, so now I'm just getting back whatever I did. Like, this is what I did, so I deserve this.
Okay.
It's more like what the reward is like, this is what I did, and now you get all this.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
You're what you're saying, though. Good. The Rambam says it is specifically pras, as opposed to schar. It's not the natural result.
Okay.
But it's something on top, but not necessarily naturally connected with it.
Okay, very good, very good.
So the hashkafa is the natural result.
Natural result,
and
okay.
And is not is some
the
other
schar system. Is a different thing.
Right.
Good, okay.
I would say all these things are natural. but it's two different realms. Yeah. I would say the hashkafa is talking about it allows you to have certain, like, a situation where you could pursue the system of Torah.
Good.
But that's not an end in itself. The schar that I think they're talking about is the perfection that you acquire in your soul just from following the Torah, which you don't reap the benefit of it until you're not in this world anymore.
Okay. So what? Okay. So the first thing you said, right? You said that the benefits that we get, the hashgacha, right, is insofar as it helps a person, gives them the opportunity to perfect himself?
Right.
Right, and what was the saying now? What was the other thing? That's the schar that you don't get is what?
That you mean that you don't get until the next world?
Right.
Right, so that is the actual perfection of your soul, because it's true that that could be going on in this world, but it doesn't, you don't reap that benefit until you're in Olam Haba.
Okay. Okay,
How do you know that's what star is?
That's my theory.
Well, you just said generically that you get, but schar you get later. Hashkacha is just the situations which allow you to continue in your perfection, and the schar is the end result. Whatever what that end result is, so your theory is that it's the enjoying the perfection. But I don't really know.
I'm a very specific kind of guy.
And that makes it sound a little funny, though, right?
Let me just clarify. In other words, when it says hashkacha, that a person receives hashkacha, right? When the Torah promises a person assistance, see, there's two types of physical security that a person could receive. One type of physical security is the security that is necessary for a person to perfect himself in terms of the soul. You see? In terms of the spiritual, that's where God assists you. And he provides you with every physical situation necessary as a means to a person pursuing his essence, pursuing knowledge, you see, and acquiring the good. That God provides you with, you see. So that physical security God provides a person with and assists him and gives him everything necessary to perfect himself in terms of the soul, you see. But what the Gemara is saying, schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka, there is no schar mitzvah in this world. What it means is that God does not provide you with the physical for the sake of the physical. He does not provide you with a reward that you receive physical security and benefit for its own sake. That he doesn't give you. You see, he gives you the physical benefit for the sake of helping you pursue chachma. But he does not give you physical reward and benefit for its own sake. That he doesn't give you. That's schar you don't get. You see, if a person wants to pursue the physical benefits and enjoyments on his own, he wants to pursue physical security for himself, you're welcome to do it. God is not going to provide you that. You see, for its own sake. The benefits that God provides you are always tied to what you need to live the perfected life. Okay? So that's what Rabbi Yaakov said. Rabbi Yaakov said that in this world, God does not provide you with physical security for its own sake. So therefore, if you see that a person is a perfected person, lives totally according to justice and perfection, and lives the utmost life, and something bad happens to him, he gets destroyed. There's no question. Why? Because the only thing God provides you with is the situations that you need for perfection. Now, you cannot know. And you cannot know what situation is best for a person, for any given person. At certain times, it might be best for this person to have a horrible illness. That may be the best thing for his soul. You don't know what situation is necessary for that person's soul, you see? So that you could never know. The only thing you can ask is, one second, why didn't this person receive a good life just to have physical benefit and security for its own sake? One second. I didn't bring any money. Right? And that's what Rabbi Yaakov said. That a person who is what a person's expecting when he wants physical security, he wants to know, if I keep the Torah, I will receive physical security unconditionally. That's what the person wants. Unconditional physical security for its own sake. That you don't have. You see? But the only thing we do, we are promised. The only thing that is definite is that if a person keeps the Torah, God will provide him with every physical situation that he needs in order to perfect himself. That a person gets. Absolute guarantee. You see? But physical security where it would not perfect you, won't harm you. In other words, a person wants to have a certain physical situation where he's got something he wants, some physical material benefit or enjoyment. It's not going to help his soul. It's not going to hurt his soul. He just wants to have this enjoyment. That you're on your own. You see, that's actually the machlokas of the Gemara. Because the Gemara, the first part of the Gemara held that no, God supplies you with that too. If a person keeps the Torah, so he gets both worlds. He gets the next world. He gets God helps him with regard to the soul, perfecting his nature. But also God gives him this world for its own sake, to get benefits in this world, even if it doesn't help his soul, just to have the physical, material benefits. That's also a reward. So the first mandamer held that God gives you both worlds. You see? But Rabbi Yaakov held no, not true. He gives you one world. The world of the soul. This world, you might get, you might not get. And there's no assistance in that regard. You see? So that was the machlokas. Okay? But all of the brachas and the klalos and the Torah, you see, really, are, all of the brachas and the klalos and the Torah really are, is a haftacha that God provides you with what you need insofar as the ruchnius is concerned.
Doesn't sound that way.
Doesn't sound that way, right? It sounds like, because when a person reads it, he goes, ah, because he's looking for the security in this world as an absolute, unconditional. So when he reads it, he says, ah, now if I keep this, it's insured. It's an insurance. That's pretty good. Right?
Could it be that those are talking to the Am? I don't know what the percentage is, but whatever, you know, if you can say that Bnei Yisrael is on the right path, then the brachos apply. But it's not speaking to the individual, so you can never ask, oh, this guy had a hard life, but the Torah says. It's not speaking about the individual.
You mean is it different for the Am? Possible. It's possible.
Would there be a purpose for that?
We don't know. I mean, insofar as what Rabbi Yaakov says, whether he doesn't really specify, is he talking about a yachid or a tzibor? We don't know where to apply his concept, but his concept is that there is no... The perfected life is not translatable into physical benefit. You cannot translate the benefit of perfection, the perfection of the soul, you see, is not translatable in any way to physical perfection. You see, you can't say, since I'm living the correct life, therefore I get this world too. There's no correlation. You see, the only correlation you could say is, if I'm living the correct life, God will open up the doors to help me continue and pursue further the good life. But insofar as the life of the material, to say that God translates that, now you get a good material, per se. There's no translation. See, you can't make that translation. So therefore, if you see a person lives a great and unbelievable, perfected life, but doesn't have the physical, you can't, it is not a stira. You see, it would only be a stira if you would somehow have knowledge that his lacking in the physical is stopping him from pursuing chachma and pursuing perfection. Then you have a question. But just stunned that he doesn't have the physical perfection? No question. You see, that's not promised. Yeah.
Dying?
What's that?
And dying? I mean, the story is that the guy did it and then he died.
That's right.
He's definitely not given any physical perfection to then improve his.
We don't know. You know, in other words, we don't know. We don't see the picture. It could be, if we would see the picture, we'd say, "Oh, the fact that that guy died at that point was the greatest thing for him."
Man, because he was going to go to do negatives. Let's say.
Is that what you have to say? I mean,
we don't know. I mean, we can't say anything because you can only talk about an area where you have knowledge. We don't know what what situations for that person is the correct situation for the perfection of his soul? How do we know such a thing? How do we know? You see? The only thing we could know is if we would say that a person deserves this world for its own sake, then it doesn't make any sense. Then you tell me the guy does the mitzvahs, he's destroyed. He doesn't get this world. He wants this world. He doesn't get it. You see, then you have a question. But if you're not guaranteed this world, so he's not guaranteed this world. The guy died. The next world, the world of Ruchnius, did that harm him? We don't know. I don't know. We don't have knowledge of his soul to know that that result. Yeah.
I think people really agree with the way God does it, because people are mistaken in thinking that they want this world, but really they're not looking. They just think they want this world because they think that's the good. But really what this is saying is that the good is rather perfection. So when God gives them perfection, that's what they really want. They just don't know it, kind of. They don't realize, they think the best thing, the reason it seems like it's like a letdown, like, oh, we don't get physical, security. But really, no, that's only a letdown because people think physical security is the best, and that's why this seems so, oh, okay, all we get is perfection. We don't get physical security. That means that the people don't really understand it. They're
that's a good point, that's a good point, right.
They're just thinking, oh, we don't get physical, we don't get the best thing. This says the best thing is, we can't understand that the best thing is actually perfection of the soul and not physical security.
That's right.
If you understood that that perfection of the soul was the best thing, you wouldn't have this Mishnah. You'd say,
right.
Oh, he gives us schar. Obviously, it's not going to give us schar and something that does us no good. You don't realize physical perfection, there is no positive to that.
That's right.
Okay, you live longer, but what does that mean?
Right. That's really the source of the mistake. The source of the mistake is that a person doesn't realize that is inferior. Physical benefits, even though they're benefits, they are benefits, but they're inferior benefits. So therefore, the superior benefit is really what God gives you. So it would make no sense if a person would have that recognition for the person to be upset that he didn't receive the inferior benefit also. He'd say, at least I got the superior benefit. This is my main goal.
So the person who holds, you also get a physical perfection. I don't really understand that. Not only do you get this positive, but you also get a little bit of the inferior.
That's right.
That doesn't seem that important, But I don't remember who it is, but...
Well, you see, that's the thing. That's based on something else. That's based on the concept that Chazal don't... You see, there is a certain tendency in man to negate something that because it's inferior. You see, because it's not the greatest thing, I say, it's nothing. You see, that Chazal also don't hold by. You see, they say even though it's inferior, it's something. Why give it up? You see? So therefore, they say that the fact that something is an inferior benefit does not negate it, does not make it equal to zero. So therefore, to get that thing is a good thing. If a person could get a physical benefit, even for its own sake, just to have that physical benefit, if it would not affect him adversely, affect his soul adversely, but he'd have a benefit. So Chazal would say, if a person would give that up willingly, that's an irrational thing. Why shouldn't a person get that benefit? May not be as great as the other benefit, but no sense in throwing it away. Yeah. Right?
I'd have to say there's some benefit, too.
There is some benefit. A person receives, let's say a person has a life. Has a very good life, physical life, but doesn't have the spiritual. Okay, he didn't get the greater. But you can't say he got nothing. He got physical life, existence, enjoyment. So whatever he got. If a person would give that up, that would also be foolish. It's like saying, if a person has $100, and now he has an opportunity to get a penny. He says, that's worthless. That's irrational. $100 is... Well, there it's even a lower example, because $100 is just quantitatively. So to give up a penny would be crazy, because $100 is really just made up of pennies. So the person should take the penny too. You see? But even in this case, even where you have two products and one is qualitatively greater than the other, it's not even a quantitative, it's qualitatively greater. But still in all, Chazal say, even though this is qualitatively greater, do not throw the other thing away. You see? It shows you the attachment to Chachma is not like fanatical thing, like, ugh. It's not a, you know, fanatical and egotistical thing. Well, we only go after Chachma. You know, the physical is... Right? You have groups that degrade the physical because their attachment to Chachma is an egotistical thing. We're Chachamim. We don't engage in physical enjoyments. That's beneath us. You see? Because I don't have that. They said, okay, this is a greater thing, but that's also something. Might as well get that too. See, so that's why you can have another shita that says that that's a good, that a person lives the correct life, God gives them that too. Inherently. Just for the sake of that thing. Okay? That's the thing. Interesting thing. Right?
You can explain why it's under Vehim or Shemayim Aleichem? What's the relation to that?
Oh, so that's the thing. The thing is that when a person loses his commitment to Judaism based on untoward events, the basis is always the conviction in the mind that if I live properly, I'm secured physical security. It's always based on that conviction. That's why when something bad happens, he says, I'm going to give it up. See, so that's what he's saying. A person should dispel that idea from his mind. And if he dispels that idea from his mind, it's impossible for him to lose his Yiras Shamayim. Because no matter what happens to him, he says, I'm not doing it for that. I wasn't keeping the Torah that I should have physical security. So therefore the fact that I lost my security, nothing to do with it.
Well, Yiras Shamayim per se?
No, I think he just means... I mean, according to Rashi, the way Rashi is learning, Yiras Shamayim just means his commitment to God. Using it as just a generic term. Yeah. Right? That's fair. Okay. That's the story.